You are listening to Those Casual Reds with Casey Gale, Jeremy Sanchez, and Mikey Douglas, only on LA Talk Radio.
So you know the deal. It's time for Those Casual Reds with Casey Gale on LA Talk Radio.
Evening. This is that late. United Chat. I'm your boy, Case, a.k.a. Face. The man across from me is my man, Cheezum. And this is brought to you by Ballorin & Malukian LLP, one of the finest personal injury law firms in Southern California's. In the Southern Californias, they specialize in, of course, personal injury, wrongful death, wrongful firement. If you want to sue Disneyland, all those type of things, they're really good at it. You can go on their Instagram. You can go on their Facebook, Ballorin & Malukian, and Shaq Gideon, I have to say that. Look for Vahe, Ashat, Hike, Ani, and the full staff of ladies and gentlemen who work for them. Get their free consultation. Call them at 747-444-4444. Sam, bring the gentleman in. It's a lot to talk about. We have the, well, first of all, let me introduce everybody. Let's start with Sean. Sean, represent Pittsburgh, P-Berg. What's going on? P-Berg Red. Sean, how you doing? Good to see you.
Yeah, good to see you guys again. It's been a few weeks since I was on last.
It's been a few weeks and the mood's kind of the same.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Saturday was a nightmare. Just absolute nightmare. I haven't been that mad since I lived in England. So it was a disappointing day, but I've calmed down now.
Well, we're going to get into that. Don't worry, we're going to get into that. Everybody's going to have their say. We're going to have their feelings. Bringing my man, Bandito, representing SoCal, the general, LA's top boy, voted best dressed again. Bandito, how are you doing, my brother?
Yes, boys, good to see you again.
Repping in ATL, those Atlanta Reds, the man, the myth,
the Knicks fan.
We're not. See, you invited that part. Big Mikey, how are you doing? And how's the family?
Everybody's good, man. We know we're expecting.
Yeah,
our that's boy on the way. We're going to put him in front of ball as soon as possible.
Yeah.
And a special shout out to the UK Falcons. UK Falcons page on Twitter. Special shout out to them. They follow me. A few of them are Man United fans.
Oh, that's cool. Who are the UK Falcons? The Atlanta Falcons?
UK.
That's cute. UK-based Atlanta Falcons
supporters. Really cute.
Support. Word. Yeah.
That's really awesome. So, guys, a lot to talk about. We are into the FA Cup final. It is a
huge achievement.
A huge achievement to some, to not too many. I think it's a good achievement.
I'm with it, man. It's pedigree.
It's pedigree. It's heritage. It's 2 years in a row for Erik ten Hag. I guess he's to be commended on that. I don't think that's a negative. I think some people, the result makes it feel more negative. Let me ask this panel here. Let's start with you, Sean. How'd you feel knowing that we're in the FA Cup final again?
I'm happy about it. What's this, 4 finals in 2 years? Is it 3?
3. Or 3 in 2 years.
Yeah, 3 finals in 2 years. I'm happy about it. I'm not happy about how we got there. But overall, we're happy. So, and the perfect thing, it lines up on my kid's birthday weekend, too. So. Nice. Big party weekend for that. So,
well, that should be excellent. Hopefully it's a happy birthday gift for you.
Shout out.
Yeah. You and your kid. Bandito, how was your... I wasn't at the pub. I didn't get to be around the lads. I actually watched it under my covers. What was the vibe? What did you guys talk about after the match? Was there glee? Was there disappointment? Or was there the same feelings?
Well, I had Cheese Man spilling his drinks all over me.
I brought the evidence. I'm wearing the same gear.
Yeah, my neck was like killing me from the stress, and I felt exhausted. I heard that Ratcliffe had just run the London Marathon before that, and it felt like watching that game was more of a task. When I pull back and think about now, yes, it is a good accomplishment. And you've got to look at the totality of the run, you know, not just this past game, which was, you know, just do your head in. If you think of this past game, it wasn't great, but you could only beat who's in front of you. And yeah, the capitulation FC is in full effect. Mm. There was guys saying like, I don't feel good about 2-0. I don't feel good about 3-0. And to watch that, you know, collapse unfold, and credit to Coventry, you know, the players, the fans, it was a very good FA Cup run for them. You know, they're a mid-table championship side, so that's a big deal for them, a trip to Wembley. But it was just really, really frustrating and really, really depressing. How does Man United continue to make wins feel so bad?
I think I put in my post, we find the hardest way to win shit or something in that matter.
We make the shit hard.
Big Mike, at what stage did you feel we were in trouble? Was it the 3-0? Was it the 3-1? Was it the 3-2? Or was it the 3-3? Was it the missed PK by Casemiro? Which was disgusting.
It's a lead off the kick. Oh my God.
If anybody remembers, I came into the game not feeling confident about this game.
Mm-hmm.
I posted it. I said, I don't feel confident about Coventry. Because once again, for the 8th week in a row, these guys are not good enough. And if there's any indication as to which this is the flagship game to show that these guys that we have here that play for us are a pack of criminals, okay? A pack of criminals,
scammers.
And they need to look have a hard look at themselves. And what bothers me is that I love how when we go up 3-0, I didn't feel good. I was like, 3-0, if they score one, it's going to be scary. Right? If they score one, it's going to be scary. And I said, if it happens, we're going to be in trouble. They score one, as I'm telling my wife on FaceTime, that I'm going to be home at a certain time. So they score one, and I'm like, okay, here it goes. These guys are capitulating again. And it just goes to show, these guys, we take off a teenager. We take off teenagers, or we take off the kids, and we bring on professionals. Guys that's been in these situations before, that played for years, and we get worse. I don't know.
Yeah, Ten Hag's one thing last year we appreciated him because he seemed to have his hand on the substitution thing was on point. Mm-hmm. I think last year we were either the top scoring bench or the second scoring bench in the league or might have been in the world, I don't know, in Europe. But, you know, it's the people he chooses to reward with extra time is what's troubling to me. You have your Rashfords, and I know we don't have much other choices, but I would much rather have kept Garnacho on at that time. Just me personally, I probably would have flirted with bringing in Ahmad and brought off Rashford. I think Rashford is someone who's not deserving or rewarded of extra time. That was troubling to me. And then you bring off Kobe, and I think it was Eriksen he brought in.
Yeah.
And you put Eriksen in a defensive situation where we know that's not really his thing, even though we want him to for possession. I found those things troubling. Is it troubling to you guys at this point in the season, Cheese, when you see Erik ten Hag struggling to keep a 3-goal lead? And I'm not blaming him.
Yeah, no.
Because like you said, these dudes went there and shat on themselves, if I can say that.
Mm-hmm.
But those two changes really hurt the team.
Yeah, very much so. Very detrimental. But I'm not surprised. I think we have 6 games left. I expected this. And My prediction was a shootout and Onana saving our ass. So,
yep,
I'm feeling like God right now. Just saying. So, whereas I feel like all of you are catching up with me now in the Ten Hag boat. So, welcome aboard. It's nice to see you all. Mikey, my G, it took you long enough.
Took you long enough for what?
Nothing, man. It's all good. Ten Hag in, all that good shit. Either way, back to the game. It was bliss at the pub for like 70 minutes, 75 minutes. Bliss. We were flying. We were flying. Yeah, we were
63 flying. For the
we hour. Were singing.
Yeah.
We were happy.
It was lit.
It was bow. Lit. And then, yo.
Sexy
the,
red.
Again, just like the week before when the mood changed, like as soon as you concede that first goal, dog, like everybody start. It's literally shaky bum time. Like we were panicking, and then the 3-3 hit, man. I was like, oh my God. And I was just like, well, Onana gonna save us anyway. That's what I said. So it's all good. Substitutions definitely 100% sucked. And the manner that we're conceding goals has haunted us all season. It's like what our eighth or ninth result like that, where it's just like 3 minutes, 4 minutes, and you're just like, giving up a crazy lead and like just.
Yeah, there's. I think there's a list on our page when we showed all that stuff.
Yep.
Let me jump on some comments here. Armani says, I guess he's playing Rashford to sell. We're talking about why Rashford's getting rewarded time.
Man's audition.
But we are 3 up within 20 minutes left, and those subs in make sense. Yeah, those subs make sense. Yeah, it makes sense. Yep.
You
but
should be able to see the game out.
But yeah, and then with all the injuries we have, maybe he didn't want to risk Garnacho or Kobe. And today's presser, apparently Garnacho's sub was a precaution, yeah, and he didn't make those subs, and players got hurt. We would all call unwanted Erik ten Hag head on the plate. Yeah, if he didn't make some,
Amani said Rashford is the biggest fraud.
Oh, she did.
She wrote it on my page.
Oh, okay, all right. Yeah. Big Mike, you see, and I know you've been a main Erik ten Hag. He can't. I don't say you didn't say he can't do anything, but these players are letting him down. It's tough. It's got to be tough for him. I'm on a stance right now. I feel sorry for Erik ten Hag because I feel like he's a man who's all alone. I feel like these players are on him. Other things are going on, but I want to get into it. It's what else can he do? What other subs are there? What else could he have done?
The subs were fine. He didn't put on bums. He put on two professionals to see out the game. We have one registered center back in the game, okay, and it's fine for 63, 64 minutes. It's fine, and then Casemiro's giving the ball back to the opposition. There's a part in that game where he breaks down, he gets the ball, and he just hoops it right back to them. He's getting beat. I think it was Ellis. Ellis ran past him and ran to the touchline, and I was like, oh my God, this guy's legs are gone. He looks like he's 37. He looks. Yep. Dead out there. There's nothing you can do. There's no change that you could make with this team. There's kids on the bench, right? You bring on two of the season guys to come on. Now, when Amad came on finally in the game, he kind of changed it a bit where he was being a little bit more direct and he was able to do a little bit more. But that back four, we played a back six at one point. We played a three, a five. We played a few defensive setups in that throughout that game to try to keep the lead, right? Instead of going for that final one, because no lead safe at Man United. I don't think there's nothing you can really do. Ten Hag can really do with this batch of players for the style of play that he demands, with the two holding, four at the back, one man in the middle, three up top, and one to run in. I don't think these guys have the quality to play that way.
And not only that, to be fair, the guy they put in front of him, his legs are gone too. Eriksen's legs are gone.
Gone.
So what else is he supposed to do?
Still on site for Andy Carroll, because Eriksen has not been the same since that injury.
Mm-mm. No, he hasn't. It's just, like, I agree with Mikey here. Like, on Saturday, I was livid. I was like, Ten Hag, he's got to go. Like, if that fourth goal had stood, we would be sitting here today going, all right, who's the new manager? Because he would have been gone yesterday. There's not a doubt in my mind he would have been gone yesterday. But looking back at it and watching it again, like with Mikey, he's got nobody to put in there. Like, I don't agree with taking Mainu off. Mainu's 18 years old. Like, that kid should be running and running and running. Like, there's not a reason why that kid should not be playing the full 90 minutes right now. And considering he missed the first half of the season too, so he's still pretty fresh compared to everyone else. But Eriksen is just, he's got to go. His legs are gone. His ball passing is not there anymore. I just, there's nothing really Ten Hag could have done there. So Anthony was shocking again, coming off the bench. Absolutely fucking shocking. Sorry for the language.
No, it's okay. You can curse and drink.
Perfect. So yeah, I just had enough with these players, and to get into the Ten Hag, like, if we fire him, who do you bring in? We fired, what, how many managers now since Fergie's left? And every single manager that leaves always says the same thing. It's the players. They don't have the attitude. So we fire Ten Hag, we bring somebody else in, and who, they're going to say the same thing. So I would keep Ten Hag for now. I would bring in I don't care how much you have to pay for Dan Ashworth. I don't care if it's 50 million, you pay it tomorrow.
With 13,
bring in Dan Ashworth, give him the summer. If by Christmas things haven't changed, I would make the change at Christmas. If
really? Really?
Yeah.
I'm okay with that.
Yeah. Wow. Bandido, as you know, I let in with the substitutions, and I'm not getting, you know, really in the tactical things right now, but it doesn't seem there's much, you know, there for him to do. I mean, he could probably get exotic and probably put like a Scotty at center back, but his options are very limited right now. And even if going to tomorrow's game, his roster's, I mean, what is he going to do? I mean,
okay, look, he wants to play a 3-1-6, and he seems very stubborn to that point, to his own detriment. What can he do? Well, in the game, you've got on the first goal, for example, right? You're up 3-0, and they're constantly attacking our left side.
They knew what the weakness was.
Listen, Aaron Wan-Bissaka is vacating the space. He's still trying to get involved in the buildup. Like, what the fuck are you doing? They're attacking the space.
Yeah.
Right? You're leaving Harry Maguire to cover the flank. So they constantly did that. You have Delo, your right back. He's in the middle of the pitch. So that means the left side is wide open as well. Just throw it, dink a ball into there. There was one point where they hit a ball over the top. And I don't remember the name of the Cove player, but it was Casemiro.
Oh yeah,
it was Casemiro and the LA kid. Maguire running back. It looked like they, you know how sprinters wear the parachute. That's what it looked like. I'm like, they got ankle weights on. What's going on here? So what he has to do is get on the touchline. Get in your technical area and start shouting at people. If they don't have the game awareness, get on your touchline, get in your technical area and start instructing them like 10-year-olds, like I would do if I was coaching.
I touch on some things Armani said. Great points there, Manita. All season we all mad about how defensive Anthony has been. So Etienne brings him in and Anthony to close out the game, and we're all mad. And then Amani says agreed, and then Brian says 100% to some of the comments. When you say things like that, how we're not being professional, Bandido and Sean and Mikey, how these players are feeling down, go through the comment what Eric Ten Hag said about disgrace, because I did put embarrassing as my final comment from the game, and it wasn't embarrassing towards Eric Ten Hag. It was just the whole thing was embarrassing. And read that comment from.
So the comment is, the quote is, in my Ten Hag voice, is it embarrassing? No. The reaction from you was embarrassing. It's the comment. Top football is about results. We made it to the final and we deserved it. We were very lucky in the end. Clear, the penalties were very good. It's a huge achievement. Twice in 2 years is magnificent. For me, as manager, 4 cup final in 4 years. The comments are a disgrace. Shut up, boy, Ten Hag.
And then this is how the question was presented to him. He says, there's a lot of noise on the internet amongst the fan groups. ex-players, media, and Erik ten Hag went on. It almost felt like he took it personal in a way, because they were saying that we were embarrassed about the result. And I think from him, it feels like he was a little bit put aside for the first time. Like, you know, this is who I am. I'm a winner. I can get things done. Y'all need to sit back, get some popcorn, and buy a ticket and chill. Do you feel that he was right to say, Big Mike, that, you know, we need to cool it with the embarrassing talk, and we shouldn't have the right to really say this, that it was, we were embarrassed?
Think about it like this. You're a Premier League manager, and some rando in the press is saying, oh, regular people are saying this is embarrassing, blah, 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 after you've taken this team to 3 finals in 2 years. Of course you're going to feel offended by that. I would have felt offended by it. I would have told him where to stick it.
Word.
But,
that's why
I am. You know, Ten Hag's better than me. But, yeah, 100%. Like, we kind of get beside ourselves as fans, right? We pay tickets. We give them our money for whatever. So we feel like we have the right to say whatever the hell we do. And we do. But at the same time, we have to step back a second and look at what's really going on, right? And, like, yeah, it wasn't nice. Once again, I didn't feel confident about playing commentary because I know these guys. But we got through in the end. Like, we showed every way to lose a game. We showed it. We showed how you can do it, right? And if Coventry was a little bit more clinical, we would have lost. If man wasn't wearing a size 12 shoe, we would have lost that game for sure. But at the same time, as a manager, I'm not going to sit back and listen to it. And it's also like saying, bro, you think I don't know what they're saying? You think I don't hear it? I have to live with this shit. You know what I'm saying? Like, shut up. You making it worse by asking me this dumbass question. That's how I would have took it.
Sean, how did you feel? Are we wrong for feeling the way we did initially? I mean, go ahead. No.
I don't think we're wrong for feeling the way we did initially.
Do you like how Erik ten Hag is stepping up right now and starting a little fight?
I wish he'd do it in the freaking changing room towards Rashford.
Yep.
And just chew his ass out and just say, look, you're not playing. You're done. I'll put Ahmed. There's a young 19?
Yep.
He's hungry that wants to play. He shows it in the game. Like Mikey said, like, he changed the game when he came on. And let's not forget, United have had some big losses in the FA Cup in the past. You know, we lost, Barnsley FC 1997. It's not like we haven't had losses before, so.
Lost to Chelsea in 2018.
Yeah, I'm on about, like, kind of teams that have been below the Premier League. You know, we have Barnsley, we've lost.
MK Dons.
MK Dons.
Yeah, 3 years ago, right? We went out to a League One team.
Middlesbrough, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, we went out to Middlesbrough a couple of years ago, and it's so let's not act like this is and it's the FA Cup. Like, we like teams get knocked out all the time, like Premier League teams in the FA Cup. It's that kind of competition. But we're not wrong for feeling how we did on the day. Looking back on it, I feel kind of like I'm not Ten Hag out anymore. Like, I'm not where I was screaming it on Sunday, should I say. Just a little time to calm down, but no, like, we're definitely not wrong for feeling the way we did. It's just anger.
How'd you feel after the Ten Hag presser and his comments, Bandito? Was that was he justified in his reasoning? I mean, I know we are a reactionary fan base, highly reactionary fan base, and we have the biggest media draw, so the pressure has got to be overwhelming for him. And like I was saying earlier, and I'm going to get to you, I'm actually feeling bad for him because I feel like he's a man on an island by himself. He's got the fan base is pissed. He's got ex and United legends coming down on him. The players, even though he backs them 100, they let him down consistently. And got new ownership, new management peeking over his shoulder. Is he right to let everybody know to chill out? This is my thing. I'm doing this. I'm taking us to the finals. This is progress.
Before we answer that, just one more comment from Prezi. The other thing that pisses me off is when people talk about Coventry, about if Coventry had played their style in the first half, it would have been a different game. Well, they didn't. They chose their tactics in the first half, and we chose our tactics in our first half, and ours won. This is football.
Brian Jovanen. He's been getting shit talked to all season. People have been calling for him to get sacked for months. Makes sense. He's sensitive at some point. Dude seems like a raw nerve. That's from Brian. Take it away.
I gotta say that's pretty shameless, though, buddy. You gotta admit that, like, their style of football shouldn't go up against. We have one guy on our pitch, one guy on the pitch at one point that's worth $100 million. That's probably their entire transfer budget and then some, right? And we're struggling against them with our tactics. Our tactics literally almost lost us the game.
Interesting from you, Big Mike, to say that. Bandito. I mean,
also, mostly the players.
all the ABUs are eating it up. They love it. They love when we fail.
Yeah.
And the Sam Lockhurst of the journalism world.
Was he on the ban list?
They're going to do what they do. He's not got access to players. So, yeah, like Mikey said, what is he going to do? Say, oh, yeah, you're right. No, he's going to defend his gaffe. He's always defending his players, no matter how much they let him down. He's going to defend the club. He's going to defend himself. So, yeah, it's good to see. It's good to see that out of him.
Yeah. And just another point, I don't want to hear shit from Man United legends. Roy Keane, how did his managerial career go? Gary Neville, how did his freaking managerial career go?
That's so true.
Yeah, Roy Keane, our petition is still pending, Roy Keane.
Don't You'll sign be out it. Of a job Do soon. Not sign the Do Roy Keane petition.
Was it Villarreal for Gary Neville?
Jeez. Oh, my God. Couldn't speak the language. Man. Had a hard time. Couldn't speak the language. Having a hard time telling the players to go forward.
Yep.
Yeah, it's a tough situation for Eric Ten Hag, but he's got us in the final
again.
FA Cup final. What? Amani's getting back on Mikey.
She says, "I hear you, Mikey, but it's a case of shoulda, coulda, woulda. They chose how to play for 70 minutes. Who is to say we wouldn't have played our counter-attacking game if they had been more direct in the first half?"
Well, there it is.
Can't argue with that.
Well, we got a game tomorrow. With all the madness is going on, there is a game tomorrow. This disappointment still hang over disappointment, I guess.
Wait, and this is a Premier League game, so penalties cannot save us.
Yeah, this is Premier League. This is Sheffield. Is Sheffield the one team that we've scored more goals than?
I think they're bottom of the table.
So, you know, they go with the odd back. They're going to go like a 3-5-2. They're one team that has two strikers.
They have more shots conceded than us. They're like one. The
only is that what team it is?
Have more shots conceded than
I'm
us.
I'm still probably. Amazed, guys, with the shots that we give up. It's
I'm still putting 10 on Sheffield, putting 15 shots against us.
Are you really?
Yeah.
That's a safe bet, though.
Bernie's about to have a worldly.
That's a safe bet. I mean, what did we think about going forward? Are you confident seeing Casemiro and Harry?
Center back again?
Casemiro center back. I'm jumping out my building window.
No way.
Like, I do not want Casemiro at center back.
No way.
I know about the play when Bandito says that they were both chasing. I think his name was Sims or something like that. But there's a play Casemiro was chasing Haji.
Haji.
Oh, my Lord. It looked crazy.
You call it chasing?
It looked like an old Jamaican man off Ray and Nephew chasing down his fast nephew. It didn't even look right at all. And I felt bad because I'm like, wait a minute. That guy is on contract for, three more years at high wages. He's got to go. He's got to go. Hilarious. But what are his options? What is the lineup options for tomorrow? What does he do?
Since the game, McTominay, Rashford, Bruno, and Garnacho are hurt.
From what I heard, that Garnacho is going to be okay.
So there you go. Once again, we're hurt. So what do we do? Do we just play the kids?
Speaking of kids, shout out to the U18 sealing the deal today in the Premier League North, is it called? Yeah. And beating the Stockport. Bandito, if you can give us some quick stats.
Yeah, so 2-1, Stockport's own Ethan Wheatley with two goals. The first goal was nice, the first touch to control it, and then the tight angle to finish it. It is the Premier League the 18s League Cup, I guess it would be equivalent to. So this makes a double for the U18s. Nice.
That's quality
done, lads.
Yeah, it was the Bertie Magoos in the finals. And one thing I will say about this young team, they went up 2-0. It was a lot of pressure in the second half. The Blue Noses got one back, and it was every man forward and a lot of pressure. But they, for a young team, and this is where you learn it, right? They showed how to organize, how to talk to each other, and how to win and see a game out. So that was really encouraging from this young side.
You know, in a way, the more youth, I'm like this now, the more youth that we can play, it makes me feel better. Because I know one thing, they're going to play hard. Obviously, they are actually more professional behaving on the pitch than our veterans, because they're going to be more funnily in tune, more funnily trained. They're going to have the skills better because they're actually getting taught good football. I'm not saying Eric Ten Hag's not teaching them football, but they're getting drilled every day. And I don't know. I'm looking forward to seeing them, because what are we playing for in the Prem right now? Are we playing for Europa still? What are we, sixth?
We that high up?
Seventh.
Oh boy, come on! I never wanted to get eighth so much, because seventh is that.
What do you mean? You don't want Kazakhstan?
No.
And Rock of Gibraltar?
No. Pass. Come on, hard man. Pass.
Those are the ones.
Away days.
Hey man, we get in that competition, we win it. Back to European glory. We'll be the first team to win all three competitions.
Wow, we would be. Huh? That'd be. Let's go for it then.
We won the lot.
Oh, we've seen it all. We've truly seen it all.
To be fair, though, like, I think
if we
say that again, Sean. Sorry,
Mike. You go ahead.
Go ahead, Mike.
If by the odd chance we win the FA Cup, we qualify for Europa League, right? Because Europa League took the old cup winners,
right?
Yeah.
So,
oh, that's neat.
I think that's the only route to Champions League next year, to be fair. I don't see us getting Champions League next year.
Wow, yeah. The rebuild situation for this club is something I am not ready to tackle yet, because it's going to be a mess. It's going to be a mess. This is the contract
transfers right for the next 3 years, and we have to get every single signing correct. There can't be a mistake. There can't be a Casemiro. There can't be a Sancho. There can't be an Eriksen. It needs to be young, like I'd say 22, and they can't be kids. So
yeah,
we have to get young, youngish in their prime players. Every single one of them, right, for the next 3 years, I believe.
I think the hardest thing, I don't know how you guys feel about it, is going to be getting rid of players in our squad.
Dead weights that we have.
I mean,
well, to jump in there real quick though. Look who we have in the backroom staff now. We finally have people in at the back who can actually sell a player.
True, but the backroom staff, there's some contracts that's on these players' heads that's astronomical. Like the Rashford thing, I love Rashford still, and I'm the one of the few people like, give him another year. Let's see what happens under the new regime. And I've had people actually tell me I'm insane and fuck
insane.
Away from yeah.
And I mean, you're not insane because you're talking about Rashford, though. You're just insane.
PSG
from long time.
PSG. We'll take 70 million.
I'll drive him there myself. I'll go back to England. I'll drive him to PSG myself.
That's so harsh. You know, I made I was speaking of Rashford. The cupping of air thing Anthony did. Let's touch on that real quick.
Man said he was defending his club. I don't care about it. Like that's no noise. That's nonsense to me.
How'd you write started it by cupping his ears to the Man United faithful? And then we're not there, right? We're not there to hear all the bullshit these Covington, yep. Covington's a city in Georgia. Coventry is saying, you know, all the shit that their fans are saying the entire time. We're not there to hear. I know it's madness. I know it's the craziest thing you're hearing. Everything, you're getting called everything but a child of God. So especially you, who's on 100 million. So yeah, I'm not mad at it. Is it shameful? 100% shameful. But the bigger story is for me is how half the team didn't even celebrate Will Hoyland.
Boom.
Mm-hmm. That's the bigger story that we're missing here. How people walked away. Guys paid their money. People paid their money to come to Wembley. I seen a guy fly from Asia to come see his first Man United game, right? And half the team turned after the goal went and just said,
"We out."
Well, maybe that's the – go ahead, Mike Bendito.
Yeah, before we shift gears, I want to talk about the Sancho – I mean the Antony. Like you said, we know he's a shithouse, and he likes to get under players' skin. He likes to get players involved in that kind of one-on-one thing to take them out of the team game. When I saw it, before he came out with the statement, when I saw it, I thought it's got to be, you know, you're in case you've played where you're going in against the same guy over and over and you're going back and forth with that guy. Right. And then we've seen him do that time and time again where he's going in. And I think he just kind of, you know, did one of those, you know, to that guy. And you see there's one guy, he's kind of like laughing and smiling. And I think I was like, well, maybe that's it. Maybe that's what he's done. And then, yeah, I do remember Riot doing that to the United fans. Mm-hmm. Is it there's shithousery and then there's this a little too far for me. But, you know, he did what he did.
I know one time in my freshman year in college, I ran up in the stands and gave my mother a kiss. So I was not the example of behaving professionally. I used to talk to the other team's coach and tell them what play you're gonna do. He's shit, you're shit, the ref shit, and I used to get personal. I used to get penalties. I'm not the guy. I'm Antony. I am Antony. More notes. Comments here. U18s all day, and they can round up a triple with the Euro Cup, right? Ethan was taken off early to. I think he's making the bench tomorrow. Europa Conference is how we get those big dollars signings. Ha ha! From Brian.
Big signings.
Maybe back to saying how the players didn't celebrate. Maybe they felt embarrassed.
You stay together though.
I feel you on that. But you know what? This team ain't together.
There's a whole half of a stadium of Reds in there. You go and you go crazy in there. Who cares? Ooh. You go in there, you clap them up. And also to those fans that left.
Oh, wow. That video hurts.
People like me that can't go every week. There's people like me that can't go to Wembley. I'm going to stay until the last one. So, like, yeah. And they're trying to come back in. Disgusting.
No, Mama.
Yeah, they're not allowed back in, too, which is even better.
Double.
Yo, Brian said they ignored Rasmus all season. Why start now? Why stop now?
You're not wrong.
That's real spit. That's real spit. I used to say that I was thinking that Erik ten Hag is telling them not to give the ball to Rasmus because they ignored him so much.
I thought they were ignoring ten Hag. I thought he's been telling them, "Yo, give the ball to Rasmus," and the rest of the players are just like,
"He got the ball a couple of times and couldn't get out his feet." They were playing. They had the whole team in our box. What are you gonna do? We're playing one up top. It's not like we're playing a dual striker thing. We're playing one up top. He got the ball a couple times at his feet. Went wide. Kicked the ball out. Couldn't pass it in. It's not like he didn't get the ball. He got the ball. But he couldn't he just couldn't finish. And it's a lot to ask of somebody his age with the players he has.
Yeah, and you know, great point. We forget these guys are still young and developing. And, you know, as United fans, I think we get so hungry for, I want to win again. We forget that these are young guys and they're not even in their prime, close to their primes.
I blame Ronaldo. We got a 17-year-old Ronaldo and he turned the world upside down for us. And now we're like, every 17-year-old should be like this.
It's Ronaldo's fault.
Amani says, I don't agree with it, but that was some emotional roller coaster. And here's the template for how to respond. And what is this? And there's no template for how to respond. It's in the heat of emotion. And like you said,
fair enough.
They say some crazy shit. I mean, I really wasn't bothered with that much. I was just bothered with the whole thing. Now, let's talk about tomorrow's match. Now, I went in this game, gentlemen, definitely feeling that Erik ten Hag, if he's going to get fired or get hot, kept on, this wasn't going to change it. And I'm feeling like this for the rest of the Premier League. I feel Ineos has already made their choice or have an idea of what they want. And I don't think this is going to change anything. How do you feel? I mean, do you think this – what I'm asking you guys, do you think this match is going to be a big sway of different ways for Erik ten Hag? Is the rest of the Premier League something that he could really jeopardize himself? How do you feel, Sean?
I think it can, be honest with you. Losing to the bottom, like going so bad with Coventry at the end and then losing to a team that is only just worse than us. I think it can. I think they've made their mind up to keep him. Mm-hmm. But I think if the rest of the season goes as bad as it's been going, I think the pressure might be just too much and they'll have to make a change. But just jumping back to a quick second, like,
no problem.
Yes, he's had a couple of services, but he hasn't for the season. His quality of the balls into him all season is atrocious. And if we go back to what Fergie said when Van Nistelrooy joined,
mm-hmm,
do not give him the ball, you will not play. Why can we not do that with our wingers? Our wingers shouldn't be banging the goals in. They should be getting goals, contributing to the game, but they are not contributing to our striker right now. They're so used to not having a striker for the last couple of years that they are running at nothing. And especially Rashford, it just runs into someone's feet, falls over, needs to come off, you know, lying on the floor crying all the time. It's just, he's not getting the service overall.
As I agree with that, a good striker finds a way to win games without the ball as well. I'm a proponent of that idea. Gabriel Jesus cannot finish. He finds a way. He finds a way to get to rough up the opponents, hold the ball up, pass it on, get guys in the box. We're not doing those
things. Yeah, we're not doing other things.
On top of it. And then Rasmus is very young. He's in this idea that he wants to score when the pressure's on and, like, fair play to him. We're not getting – you're right. You're not – I'm not disagreeing. But a good striker knows Harry Kane comes down deep, can't run. The guy's slow. He probably runs a 6-second 40. But he comes down and he affects the game in different ways, but he could finish. I think Hoyland's like a Haaland level player, right? He can't really do much with the ball once he has it, right? Like outside of the box. It's not really much to do there, but we don't put him in enough positions to see what he can do, and I 100% agree with that.
Yeah, I just got a quick one of the guys on Instagram said, what about the leadership on the field? Do you think Bruno is too negative to lead with a positive attitude when things go south? I know it's a bit off topic, but...
No, that's perfect. I love that. Perfect. Bandito, you want to jump in that? Anybody want to jump in that? About Bruno's leadership?
He comes off as petulant at times and very negative, but in the same way that Anthony is a shithouse and that's how he keeps himself, that's how his, you know, game day mentality is. That's how it is for Bruno. Mm-hmm. To watch it from a fan's point, you know, you're like, just get on with it and leave the ref alone and
I wish he'd be yelling at his players instead of the
referee. Yeah, you kind of want to see him instruct more and send guys and that. But it seems like he's in the clubhouse, in the dressing room, on the training pitch. He's a very respected and liked player. It seems like younger players, older players, all listen to him and are very happy with him as the captain. What does that mean for the results on the pitch? I don't know.
I would love Bruno, to have Martinez as the captain.
I think as much as like we like to say he's petulant and all that, I feel like him gaming the refs is a part of the game. Because I think it's a psychological thing. You have to get on them. You have to get in their shit. You have to keep them on their toes and make them scared to put a call against you. You know, I'm okay with that. I'm okay with him screaming. I see him yell at the players all the time. I see him argue with guys all the time on the pitch. I think Bruno, as far as leadership goes, I'm not mad at Bruno. Do we need a? Would you want a more solid, stoic leader like a Vidic, right? That's gonna bleed and put a tap, put the ball on his head and almost get his head kicked off. Like, yeah, you'd love that, right? But we don't have that. We have Bruno Fernandes. I'm okay with that. Martinez speak English? Does he speak English?
Yeah, he speaks really good English. He speaks.
I've never heard him speak.
No, he speaks good. He speaks good.
I'm going back to those calls with yelling at the ref. How's those penalties? What was that, four in the last five?
How is the penalty from the day before when Grealish literally slaps the ball with his hand and Wan-Bissaka's arm is on the ground? He's trying to retract it. How is that a penalty? Yeah, please tell me.
It's a joke.
One thing I'm going to say, Bruno's leadership that I have concerned about is when you have 3-0 leads or you have big leads going to the end, I know your coach is giving you tactics and way to thing. You got to get your boys together and say, listen, this shit ain't happening right now. Get back defensive. Do better with the ball. Casemiro, stop just kicking the ball to nobody. Just chill out. Chill out and all that stuff. Those are little things I like that twerk a little bit. When I coach my receivers, and another thing, when I coach my receivers and the quarterbacks, I used to tell my receivers, don't signify. Signify means if you don't get the ball, you do this shit. So the whole crowd knows, I didn't get the ball. Yeah. And that's what you do when you're standing up your teammate. And Bruno does that a lot. That's the one thing I don't like. He signifies. He lets everybody know, pass it down here. But then, Bruno, what happens when you kick a long ball over to the Ross Clark post?
Yeah, Hollywood.
Some things he does, because sometimes you're telling them, like, pass through this window.
Okay.
Go through this window. You see guys a lot of times, they're like, here. The way we see it and the way they're seeing it is a whole nother way. So, like, you might tell a guy, pass through this window here. Hey, I'll make the run for this side. Go this way. Like, it's a little different as opposed to, like, football's a start and stop game. So it's 7 seconds of possession, right? Hey, that might not be good because the DB's going to see it. But as far as like rolling in motion and I'm running, hey, I'll let you know I can make this run. Hit me, just hit me with it. It's more effective for our football, rather.
Fair points. Mm-hmm. We got about 4 minutes left in the show. You know, it's been a tough year for everybody so far.
You got predictions for tomorrow?
Let's go with predictions. I don't even know what
the... You don't even want to talk about the game.
I don't know what a prediction is. I just won't predict us to lose. How about that? I'm going to go with a calm 2-0. One thing they do, they have a two-striker attack. So that's going to be something different we're not used to seeing. Hopefully we don't have Casemiro and Harry in one-on-one situations against... two attackers. Hopefully we can go to a back three. I don't know. I want to see. I'm just going to say this and I'll let you guys have your points. I want to see Erik ten Hag do something creative with his lineup. I think he's going to be forced to. Bandita, how you feel? Quick comments.
Yeah, Sheffield are shit, but then so is Man United. So my prediction is like what Mr. T used to say. Pain.
Sean out of PA.
3-1.
3-1.
Same.
There's no way we don't give up a goal.
Yep, exactly.
Wow, that's a fair point, too.
I'm with Sean. 3-1 for me.
Big Mike, yay.
2-1, low block. We're going to have a lot of the ball. We're going to struggle to find a way. We'll get a breakthrough. We'll get a second. And in the second half, we'll give it away to defend for our lives.
Anybody you would...
Also, quick shout-out to Andy Cole for getting into the...
Yeah, shout-out to him. Even though he doesn't like me because I kept on calling him... Andrew or something all night at the mixer. And he's like, why you keep calling me that? And I was like, that's your name.
He'll knock you out.
Man, I rolled deep.
Still a sham that Giggs is not in there, not even been nominated.
Yeah, it's a tough one.
Text messages.
I think we should do a live tomorrow after the match and talk about it because it's going to be an interesting one. I think this game crept up on us. Let's get a prediction. Brian says the 3-2. Amani says a 4-2. 4. Wow. That's a beautiful. 4-2. Who's going to score 4 goals for us? I'm going to talk to Prezi tomorrow.
McTominay's out.
Yeah, McTominay's out and Rashford should be out. They're definitely out.
Ahmad's going to score.
She says I'm high. Okay. It's you know, this game crept up on us pretty fast. It's funny, like, you know, usually you want to put more preparation to it. And I think one thing I think we'll be playing well is because it seems like when we have more time to prepare for a team, we look worse. So I'm going to go with us really doing a madness. I'm going to change my score to a 3-1.
All right. Last thing for me, big up O'Brien's, big up Willie. Happy birthday to O'Brien's.
Yeah, Irish turned 30. Pub.
30 years in the business. Home for the Los Angeles Red Army. Thank you.
Shout
Willie.
Out the Pittsburgh Reds, those Atlanta Reds, Bandito, Sean, Big Mikey, my boy, Cheese. This has been another good one. These are therapeutic to me. I'm no longer Eric Ten Hag in or out. I'm believing in any else to make the right decision.
Real quick there, I got to shout out to Charlotte. If anyone's watching, I'll be in the bar this weekend to join Charlotte, North Carolina.
Dope. We got to do a road trip. LA needs to do a road trip.
Hey, we'll be in San Diego. Juan Mata will be with the San Diego supporters there.
Oh, okay.
A couple of us are going to roll out there.
Special one.
I'll be at the LA one. I might have to go to San Diego now. It sounds like it's going to be lit. Everybody, thank you for joining. Thank you to my panel of the best Reds we can find in the States. Appreciate it. This is a great therapy session. Up the fucking Reds. Sam, thank you.
Be you safe. Guys,
3-1 tomorrow. Let's do it.
You are listening to Those Casual Reds with Casey Gale, Jeremy Sanchez, and Mikey Douglas, only on LA Talk Radio.